Ladies and gentlemen, I've been informed that we do have a forum. Therefore, I'm going to call the meeting to order. We are open for business at 7:15 with the forum. I've asked the secretary or the acting secretary.
I'm sure they're enjoying the view of the ceiling a lot.
Can I put it here, Ted?
Sure.
Because y'all want water, it's way over here. I'm okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ted is going to act as the secretary until which time the secretary arrives.
He said that he was running late.
Therefore, I may not have an extra, but the secretary can have mine. We are going to have, right after this this agenda, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have a determination made that we do have a member who wants to participate in Skype or some remote methods.
FaceTime.
Go ahead and make the roll call, please.
Okay, Teresa Allen.
Present.
Ira Agai. Adriana Casanez.
Here.
Maria Elena Castellanos. Phil Collins. Nancy Saiwara Naratomi.
Hi. Present.
Alana Lana Perrine.
Present.
Anissa Faruqi.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Hank Lamb.
He asked for an excuse absence.
I object.
Okay, well, great.
Give him an excuse. Jerry Lynch. Susan Radlin. Don Cook.
Here.
Susie Moreno.
She asked for an excuse absence.
He's absent.
Glenn Martin.
Present.
Wesley Bethune.
Here.
Deborah Shafto.
Here.
No, she's not.
Deborah Shafto is not present in this room.
Ladies and gentlemen, are there any objection to the participation of Deborah Shafto and George Ryder participating in Skype?
It's not allowed. Oh, sorry.
Okay.
You can read the rules.
I'd like to hear from you, starting with the PNB member brought to us the latest PNB determination on such actions. I will yield to PNB member Adriana Cousin.
Last year, the PNB tried to pass...
Not yet.
Tried to pass a motion to allow people that are disabled or have mobility impaired to have the option to be in the in-person meetings by phone or by Skype or any other electronic. And this is the quote. This was voted down by the PNB. I mean, this is not. And the reason is, as it stands now, elected LSB members must be physically present in the venue where the LSB meetings are held in order to be considered present during roll call and to participate in the meeting to introduce, discuss, and vote on motions. LSB members who are disabled, mobility impaired, or have been incapacitated during their term, or are unable to travel or attend, are not allowed to participate remotely by using Skype or any or other telephonic technology. Most governing bodies allow telephonic voting, but elected officials during meetings in order to be in full compliance with state anti-discrimination law and regulation. Although the bylaws allow for a special national board and PNB committee meetings to be conducted telephonically, the bylaws currently require all regular PNB meetings and regular LSB meetings to be conducted in person. The bylaw do not provide a means for LSB members or PNB directors, including the two affiliate directors who might be disabled or mobility impaired, or might have been incapacitated during their term and are unable to travel to attend by participating remotely in LSB meetings or regular in-person PNB meetings. This proposed bylaw amendment was trying to solve this issue, and the PNB voted down. This is exactly what is, and I can cite all that you need, but this is
here. One who for the, against this.
Yes.
Question.
Go ahead, sir.
Was that passed by the PNB?
That was voting down by the PNB. Didn't approve the PNB.
Mr. Ryder,
approve that.
Mr. Crozier has the floor.
Okay. Adriana read and was correct, that was voted down, is specifically mentioned. What she read was that telephonic participation is allowed in special PNB meetings, what they call special. That's almost all of them. Anything other than the in-person PNB meetings. And it's also allowed for all the committees of the PNB. Again, as she read just a few minutes ago, this LSB is a committee of the PNB. It says so in the bylaws. So clearly, that does not apply to the LSB meetings or to any of the committee meetings that we've had. Any of you on national committees, or that most of you are on one or the other of them, they always meet by phone. It's never been an issue. We've had telephone participation before in our LSB meetings. It's only in the in-person PNB meetings where that's not allowed.
Well, Mr. Crozier, I heard your argument. It's very cogent. I've heard Ms. Castaneda's argument. It does appear that according to this document that we're referring to, this proposed bylaw amendment is to correct an outdated bylaws rule against the class of LSB members. It was proposed that as it stands now, elected LSB members must be physically present in the venue where the LSB meetings are held in order to be considered present during roll call and to participate in the meetings to introduce, discuss, and vote on motions. LSB members who are disabled, mobility impaired, or have been incapacitated during their term and are unable to travel to attend are not allowed to participate remotely by using Skype or other telephonic technologies. Most governing bodies allow telephonic voting by elected officials during meetings in order to be in full compliance with state anti-discrimination laws.
Well, he needs to finish reading it, because it's important.
I'm reading this into the record so that you will know what they voted down. And in effect, they have voted down this option.
Isn't that what they just read?
That's exactly what she just read, but with her strong accent, you may have not gotten it. So I gave you my little southern accent so it could reinforce that there was an attempt to address this matter.
Okay.
Make sure you read the part about committees, please.
Go right ahead. Although the bylaws allow for special PNB, that is Pacifica National Board Committee meetings to be conducted telephonically, the bylaws currently require all regular PNB meetings and regular LSB meetings to be conducted in person. The bylaws do not provide a means for LSB members or PNB directors, including the two affiliate directors who might be disabled or mobility impaired or might have been incapacitated during their term and are unable to travel to attend by participating remotely in LSB meetings or regular in-person PNB meetings. This proposed bylaw amendment would repair the disenfranchisement and discrimination against the class of LSB members described above per meeting rules for other committees of the Board of Directors in Article 8, Other Committee of Board of Directors, Section 5, Meetings and Actions Committee, therefore include LSBs. It would also apply to PNB directors who fall into the class and would fall into this class and would reduce absences from both regular and LSB and PNB in-person meetings. And for that reason, this chair rules that it is not allowed.
I want to add that I was one of the person that was sponsoring this change, but was voted down because they said that we cannot do it.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
Being that our bylaws don't specifically allow for this particular activity under Article 16, normally such issues would drop to Robert's rules for clarification.
Robert's rules? You want to read into the record the applicable Robert rules?
I could do that.
Okay, go ahead.
On page 97, electronic meetings. Electronics, extension of parliamentary law to electronic meetings. Except as authorized in the bylaws, the business of an organization or board can be validly transacted only at a regular or properly called meeting. That is, as defined on pages 81 and 82, a single official gathering in one room or area of the assembly of its members at which quorum is present. And to read from 81 and 82, a meeting of an assembly is a single official gathering of its members in one room or area to transact business for a length of time during which there is no cessation of proceedings and the members do not separate unless for a short recess, as defined below. For modification, one room area requirement of bylaws authorize electronic meetings, but they don't. Depending on the business to be transacted, meeting may last from a few minutes to several hours. That is the complete text on Robert's rules regarding this issue.
And we have the CPB requirement for open meetings too. But
yes, ma'am.
Would the LSP be in favor of allowing George and Deb to participate as a public?
In order to listen?
And public comment and time, yes.
I don't see any. We would be streaming this anyway, so I don't see why anyone would object to that. We are supposed to be streaming it, and we stopped. So any objections to that?
I don't have a specific objection about that. What my problem with that is when we do these kind of things, because of the open CPB requirements of open meeting, we need to allow this to every member of this foundation. Are we changing some rules and when? And we need to make people know in advance, as the CPB require us, to know that people will be allowed to participate in public comment by Skype or telephone.
Well, I believe that is a stretch, and I'm going to rule that because this is a specific member of this body who normally would partake in the proceedings, but short of partaking in the proceedings, at least having access to the proceedings, I think would be in order. Do I have any objections to that ruling?
Point of order, isn't the LSB a committee of the OPNB?
It's a regular...
I think it was pretty explicit in what I read that it did not approve the remedy. And I agree, if you read and you can read it yourself, I didn't take anything out, add anything to it. It honestly attempted to address this. And yet members of the body voted it down. So that means it's not in effect.
Well, look.
We've heard from you. Good.
I can understand how the PMB did this. And I can understand the reasoning. I am just concerned, and as I'm sure Deb Chapteau and George Ryder are concerned, that as long as I have known them, they go out of town and during the summer. And I am concerned, and they might be concerned, that missing 3 meetings, even if they've asked for an excuse absence, would be used against them to take them off the board. So that's what I'm concerned about.
Well, I think we all should have concerns, and I really would think we ought to be able to move this debate. Did I hear a challenge from the chair's ruling?
Well, I'd like to hear what Deb and George have to say.
Well, since we have indicated that they are not present in the meeting, we are going to, the chair proposed to allow them to listen and hear so they can be abreast of what is going on, but hearing from them would in effect accept their actual presence. And I rule that the PNB ruling itself, I'm not going against what I want. I mean, I'd love to have them here. But the fact of the matter is, this was voted. If we're going to have votes and we're going to have governance and make excuses not to follow them, I'm concerned about their absences, but they've had those absences for years, and it's worked. So I don't think anybody's going to throw them off the board because of absences.
I'm sorry.
Okay, listen. I am the secretary of this body. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing at this point. The chair made a ruling. If there is no appeal from the decision of the chair, then we move on. When Bill Crozier says things, well, I'd like to hear from Deb and George about this, I don't know what to put in the minutes. It's out of form. We are either going to move on with the agenda, or Bill is going to appeal from the decision of the chair.
Note taken.
Note taken.
There has been no...
Point of information, Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Can we stay exactly the ruling of the chair?
Yes, the ruling of the chair is consistent with reading the bylaw attempt to remedy this effort, and it was rejected by the PNB. The chair's ruling is we would be out of order to allow them to participate by Skype.
Are you going to pay?
Now, I've heard from you on three occasions.
I'm going to challenge your ruling.
Well, go right ahead.
Okay, well, I respectfully challenge the ruling of the chair. The reason is because
point
the part
of order.
That... Well, may I finish with
no,
the challenge?
No, you may not. You may shut up when I say point of order. You do not have a second, and you cannot appeal the decision of the chair and argue your point until you have a second.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Hearing once, hearing twice.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Alan. Now, I've been challenged. I'm not going to relinquish the chair. I am going to motivate my decision, which I'll do very simply. These things, for me, are never personal. It's all the other nefarious about throwing folk off the board and all of that. If I didn't have the site, I couldn't act. I wouldn't have the site to act on. All things relative. If there is an articulable rule on such a subject, it's cut and dry. You know, it's not favoritism. The record is there. I stand on the record. No other motive other than the record. Bill?
Okay, well, thank you. Well, the record is that we've had a number of people who participated by phone in our LSB meetings. But more specifically to this, the bylaws amendment that was defeated was only applies to in-person PNB meetings. Those are the few PNB meetings that occur in person. Most of them are by phone, and all the national committees meet every meeting. Every single one of them meet by phone. This committee, this LSB, is a committee of the PNB. It's defined as a committee in the bylaws. If you look in the bylaws, it says the LSBs are committees of the PNB, much like the other national committees. So if you're saying that we can't allow participation by phone, you're essentially saying the national committee cannot allow participation by phone. We don't have the authority to make those kind of decisions, and I think it's contrary to both prior practice and the bylaws.
Okay, I get to close. I believe Mr. Ryder is exampled that how two individuals or five individuals or 10 individuals can read a writ and come to a different conclusion. That's why generally you have a fact finder or an arbiter to determine which one is right or which one is closest to it. In this case, we read and we interpret differently the same document. And I stand that the document does specifically address the LSBs. It
yes.
articulated.
Yes.
LSB. So you can nuance it, as we do often, any way we can, and then you can make me the boogie bell, as you do. So the bottom line is, I have no dog in this hunt. The ruling, I think, is consistent with what I've read. If you think differently, vote your conscience like we should always do as good people. Are you prepared to vote?
How can you vote when you haven't even finished roll call?
That's why we are going to vote, so we can finish the roll call. Are you prepared to vote? A point of clarity. The chair's ruling is that according to the PNB's actions to not pass a remedy to this issue, that in effect is not allowed. That's the chair's ruling. We now have our secretary. We thank God for that. And if you would... that the record reflect that Susan has arrived, and we were about to take a vote on whether or not Skype would be allowed for Deborah Shaftoe and George Ryder, and we read into the record, Madam Secretary,
yes, sir.
That the record, according to this chair's interpretation and ruling, that the PNB voted to not allow such actions.
That's not correct.
Now, that is an interpretation. And I admitted that, just like yours is an interpretation. I admitted that. And I think all of us must stand on our own principles and our own interpretation of what we heard and what we can read. That's what reasonable people do, and not demonize each other for the results. Now, Madam Secretary, I'll give you a minute or two.
It's not a roll call vote.
Well, I just want her to know what's happening, what's going on. Mr. Temporary Secretary, if you allow the chair to be the chair, I don't believe 2 minutes is going to break us tonight, especially after we've used 20.
For the record, it's FaceTime, not Skype.
FaceTime, not Skype. It was Skype in the email.
You need me to call a roll?
No, ma'am, we're there. Okay. I just wanted you to be apprised.
I read emails.
We're about to raise our hands on those who are going to sustain the ruling of the chair, and then we're going to raise our hands on those who oppose the ruling of the chair.
So
the ruling of the chair was the bylaws, according to the rejection of an amendment to the bylaws to address this issue, was not approved, so therefore it is not in order.
Okay.
Those in favor or those who support the ruling of the chair, please raise your hands. Let the record reflect 2.
That's correct.
I think it's 3, isn't it?
The chair read 2. If the secretary gets something different, Madam Secretary, if you read something different, so record, but because we don't go by my eyes. Anyway, we go by the official record is the secretary, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just the conductor. Yeah.
Request for information.
Yes, sir.
May I conclude the roll call and then pass the
go right ahead
to Ms. Radman?
That would be appropriate.
Okay, Deborah Shafto, absent. Ted Weisgold, present. Tony Cox.
Yes, he's absent.
Excuse absence. Joseph Davis.
Present.
Mike Lewis.
Present.
George Ryder.
Absent.
Cliff Smith.
Present.
Venetia Patel Adams. And I've seen that since this began, Jerry Lynch is now present. Are there any other people who have come in since I began taking
Susan.
Roll call? Oh, Susan, of course.
Sir, but you can't do this.
Point of information.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Can we ask Alon to silence the laptop?
That would be appropriate.
It's very annoying.
They can hear us if you silence. Put it on mute, rather. They can hear us. We're not supposed to be hearing their conversation.
Okay, and finally, in roll call, Dwayne Bradley.
He asked for an excuse absent, too. He said
that. Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know how the count is with the secretary, but I believe that... Can we put the volume down?
Okay.
I will ask... I don't know. We need to check if they are able or not to do it, but I will ask for an excuse absence for Deborah Shafto. I'm sure Ryder, even if they don't ask for one, but...
Are there any objections?
Excused absence.
State chair.
You're asking for an excused absence?
Yes. State
how
chair.
Many?
I'll second that.
Madam Secretary, how many do they have?
Excused absences?
Yeah. Our rule is if they have more than 4 in 12 months, right?
There you go.
How many do they have in 12 months?
4 months.
Mm-hmm. I have rules. No order.
Would you please pass these to the secretary?
Deborah Shafto is eligible for excuse.
To the secretary.
Mr. Chair?
It looks to me like George Ryder's also.
How many now?
He has one excused absence in September of 2015.
How many
and he's been
absences?
Since when?
Well, in the last 12 months, we don't talk about the skills.
One. Wait a minute. No, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Three.
I was looking on the wrong line. He has three. Last July, August.
In July, and one in August.
Yeah, two in July and one in August, yes.
What that rule said, three or four in the previous year?
Point of information?
Yes.
I'm sure that's a delegate's
meeting. It said the rule is absences, not excused or not excused. Therefore, the absence in the June 6th on 10 of 2015 is an absence, whether it's excused or not. So there are four absences in that period.
What was the date?
That's true.
What was the date on June?
Point of information?
Yes, ma'am.
Didn't we go over this last year about the fact that they were absent and we were not going to hold that against them? Seems like this is double jeopardy.
No, Teresa. They arrived 45 minutes later to the one that was after the three and excuse absences, and we spent the whole meeting, and some of you vote to let him be again vote on. Yeah. He was voting in again, but he was taking off. And we spent the whole meeting, and we allowed, the majority obviously allowed him to vote in again.
Before I recognize you, ma'am, before I get a stack, this is not the point of a debate. This was a member reaching out in the absence of another member to have an excused absent on record. I will allow, without your objections, if I hear any objections, then I'm going to deal with them. But I will allow that good faith effort to be made, although it won't be made against the backdrop of what is allowed. So if, in fact, they are allowed the excused absence, it will go forth, short of one of you saying, I object right now, because we're not going to spend 10 minutes on whether or not they're supposed to have a... I'm going to read into the record... An approved
special rule
that we discussed and approved at our meeting on May 13th, 2015, just a year and a month ago. Add to KPFT special rules, quote, no LSB member or committee member shall be granted an excused absence if they have three or more absences in the immediately preceding 12 months, not to be counted for any month retroactive to the passage of this rule, May 13, 2015. To qualify for an excused absence, the request must be emailed to the LSB at kpft.org at least 3 hours in advance of the scheduled meeting time. Now, the purpose for this rule, and 12 months was spent in the governance committee to address the fact that there were individuals with among the LSB members who had 11 absences out of 13 months, which simply meant no participation, and we have a problem getting quorum when we have such activities, such non-participation. And this was passed by this body. So I'm just reading it for the record to clarify a standing rule that is not specific to any individual, but was to address a long-standing issue of individuals being on the board but not serving. Now, any objections to is your...
My point of information is, was this ruling, whenever it took place, retroactive to affect absences prior to the ruling?
I just read it to the record. There is no retroactivity.
So when was this ruling?
May 13th, 2015.
Okay, so...
a year ago last month.
So July of last year would count.
June, July.
Yeah.
May, June, July of last year would count, because we're into June.
May wouldn't count.
May wouldn't count, but June would count, because we're in June.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, so if they can get it, if they're not up to the limit. Okay. Now, can we...
So point of information?
Yes, ma'am.
So if they... so you're going to count their absence in June, July, and August, which I think they told us about. So
12 months, right. Let's go back. June now, 12 months back is what you're supposed to be looking at.
June, July, and one in August. They are four.
All right, and so they'd have to fly back.
Well, we're not going to get into that, but what we're going to do is, like I said, I don't want to litigate this matter. If you have an objection, and since I have not heard one, next up is item C, approval of the agenda.
There were some other understanding excused absences requests, too.
Are there? Well, the secretary has that record. The secretary has that record, and I don't need for us to litigate it. We have a LSB email trail that proves excused absences. So they are excused. If they within the rule, they're automatic. We don't have to approve that. They came in 3 hours prior to the meeting.
We have a special rule that specifically says you have to send an email to the LSB 4 hours, 3 hours before the meeting convenes, scheduled convening time, which would mean a request for excused absence at this point is late. Also, hanging plans for excuse was after 4 o'clock, not eligible. Both Susan Marino and Tony Cox's requests did meet the timeline, and they both do have insufficient absences to bar them from getting excused.
Let the record reflect that member Maria
Elena
Castellanos.
Castellanos!
All right. Now,
this present.
Where has arrived. I want to defer. You weren't finished?
He need to finish.
As far as the special rule, it is a special rule that we added, not a standing rule. If there's more than 3 absences, it cannot be excused.
How is it come with Deborah Shaft?
Deborah Shaft is, Deborah's fine.
Motion to suspend the rule.
She was here in June, July, when she was elected.
Okay, I've got her absent for July and August only.
We have 2 in July and 1 in August.
I want to leave this up to the secretary to make that determination.
Okay.
I'm not going to spend any more time on this. Yes, sir.
With deep regret, I bring this up, and I guess what I need is a point of information, and that is during the time that George was off the board, I think it was for about an hour, and did that not in effect give him another 5 years to serve on the PNB and another 6 years on the LSB? Did it not start a whole new cycle?
No, sir.
No, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Point of information?
Yes, ma'am. What is your request for information?
Does not the fact that a person was elected in December and seated in January, doesn't that start them fresh?
No.
She started.
I'm not going to litigate that issue because it's not on the agenda, and I don't know why I keep having to pull y'all back to a written agenda. Because it is a case that we have some other agendas other than what's written before you. So if we would all get on the same page and get off our own agendas and get on the agenda that is written before you, I believe we'll be able to be successful tonight and we'll be productive and we would not have wasted our 4 hours and the balance of the time that the members have come
Mr.
in to
Chair,
speak to us.
I have a motion.
Yes, ma'am.
That we approve the excuse absence, that we request according to our rules. And the secretary will determine which months which ones are not.
That's what I've
We
asked.
Can move
that. Are there any objections to that?
Can we read the names so we know who they are, please?
Read the names of who requested excused absences?
Was it Hank, Susie, and Tony, right?
Those are the 3 that are on record on your email trail. Now, item 1C. This is the 3rd time I've tried to get to it. And I'm only the conductor. You know, I can't...
Move to approve the agenda.
All right. There is a motion to approve the agenda.
Mr. Chair.
Any objections to approving the agenda?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
My motion that was added last meeting is not currently on the agenda. Like
the motion that was added to the last meeting. This was a motion for censorship?
Yes, sir.
Why don't we place that on unfinished business at B?
Give me a paper, Leslie.
They're
at the end of the table.
Motion to censure. All right. Now, for those of you who were here last session, you know that there was a motion passed out to censure several members. I want you to annotate on your agenda 9B, motion to censure. 9B. Now, are there any other additions, corrections, deletions, or do I have an approval? Yes.
I would like to request that item 6H be moved to the first item understanding committee reports.
I check on.
Which one?
6H.
Oh.
Be moved to what?
The first item understanding committee reports.
6H.
Okay, 6H moved to 6A
or pre.
Actually, we're going to make that 6-1. That would be the first item. 6-1.
What's 6-1?
Okay, are there any objections to moving the ARDC report to the first item under standing committee? Hearing none. Any other items to add, subtract, delete? Thank you for approval. Now, do we have any minutes?
Yes.
Yeah. Have the minutes been published?
No, sir, not by email.
Well, let's not deal with them. Although I'm going to hold us, unless you have enough copies for everybody, I'm going to hold us responsible to be familiar enough with, ladies.
Ding, ding.
No, that's not for the gallery. That's just for them. Y'all can talk as long as it's low. But I'm going to hold us responsible for reading those electronic documents when the secretary send them within the next 20 days so that we don't come here and litigate them. Our process, and we've been moving this pretty successfully, minutes do not have to be perfect. They have to be correct, but not perfect. Meaning this, if you notice that there is something that needs to be added, submitted to the secretary on the LSB trail. Therefore, they're going to be published like they're supposed to in a timely manner on the website. And that's the way we can do it instead of holding them up because somebody didn't dot an I across a T and we find ourselves with 6 months of emails backed up. So she'll send them out, I'm certain, within 10 to 15 days. She'll send you a reminder. I'll send you a reminder. Read them before we get here because we've got a heavy schedule in the July meeting. We're going to do a special delegate session to approve, and that's another reading assignment you have, so we're not litigating when we get here, that we read the amendments. We've got 40 days now, 30 days to read them before we get back, so we'll know how we're going to vote. Now, having said that,
probably budget too.
Well, we're going to have a special session on the budget, seems like, because all this takes time, and I tried to do an orientation with some of you, and about 8 of you agreed to participate, but my threshold is 13 or 14 out of 24 people. Otherwise, spending the time, money, talent, energy to do it, Bill thinks it's worth it to have 8 people, but I don't think it's worth it to have one-third of 100% of the people participating in something. I want to now go to KPFT recognitions, the second most important part of this agenda as far as I'm concerned outside of hearing from our members. But those of you around the table who would like to specifically identify and acknowledge some persons or groups that have done extraordinary work in the last time we met, I'll start with Ms. Allen.
Well, I would like to acknowledge that on one day of the pledge drive, Cliff Smith hit, I think, 180% of his goal. And I especially commend any programmers that did extra work outside of airtime to recruit people to create challenge pledges or recruit friends or groups to pledge in advance so they got a little jump start. So I think that's maybe a key to success in the pledge drive that we do with advanced planning, and I want to commend Cliff for that.
Anyone else on this side? I'm coming to you. Special recognitions, Mariel.
I want to acknowledge the work that obviously was put in by Ted Weisgall.
Point of order. These recognitions are supposed to be for programmers, and this is a waste of time, and we don't get through our agendas because of this kind of self-adulation. We don't need it. We need to get to our business.
Well, I appreciate your
opinion,
but I find it is not appropriate, and therefore I find you out of order. Continue, ma'am.
I simply want to bring attention and praise to all the members of the committee who worked with Ted in making the anti-racism town meeting a success. Extremely informative, and plenty of work laid out to be done in the future. Most importantly, drew together very active members and the community of human rights and civil rights defenders.
Next.
Jerry.
Nancy.
What?
Okay, Anissa.
I'm sorry. I don't have a specific programmer, but I have heard. I heard on KPFT announced before Space City Comic Con was given that they advertised very well for it. It was on the night program, one of the night programs, and I was I am very happy that they that our station gave away tickets. We gave away 50 tickets to Space City Comic Con as part of the pledge drive, I think it was. And I'm hoping that we get a good turnout for Comic Palooza in about 2 weeks.
Thank you very much. Next.
I'm sure you meant PSA instead of advertising.
What's the difference? What's the difference? Well, Teresa, we've heard from you, but let's go around the table.
Well, to follow up on something kind of Teresa hinted at, that I want to thank all the people, some of you, and also there were some of the LSB runners-up who contributed to the challenge fund for this last fund drive. And we, as a result of, for the new members, the idea was that $25 would be added for every new member. And there were 32, every one of the spots were taken. We got 32 members resulting in that. Most of the new members, according to Robin, donated $50 to $100. Some were considerably more than that. So it brought in at least $2,000 to $3,000. I'm not sure the exact number. In addition to whatever the match funds were. So
great.
Thank you.
Next. Anyone on this side, Teresa?
I want to thank James and Colleen Nagel for raising $3,000 at the Howl and the Blues event on June 5th.
Well, since Ted said it was a waste of time, I won't mention that the program that he did put on proved to bring a cross-section of the community together, that Pacificans from all hues and all interpretations, and they were glad to see each other, and they recommitted themselves to the KPFT experience. I think if not having that, I think that some of the things that will be going on moving forward, including fundraising, I might ought to mention that I was very disappointed when I heard one union official who happens to control six southern states for the Communication Workers of America, to indicate that he had had a meeting with some principals from the station and that he had tendered an offer to donate big money and that there was no follow-up. And I'm very disappointed in that, and I'll be following up on that very, very diligently. Outside from that, I think people are going to look for KPFT for a breath of fresh air and to try to rejuvenate themselves, those who have come out and left out. And I think I give Ted credit for bringing those people back in. Larry Payne, P.K. McCary, a host of other folks, like I said, Hispanics, African-Americans, Anglos, Asians, they all were excited about being part of that, and they look forward to recontributing to KPFT.
Sorry,
I'm sorry I had to
that.
Say that. I take it back. But
sorry you couldn't mention.
Okay.
Next up.
Is it too late? Can we go to...
You don't believe
him? The second... Okay.
Public comment?
Yeah, the reason that the chair is here is to hear this from our members. We're going to go to public comment. And public comment is a time when we allow our members and listeners and others
to come. Do you have a piece of paper to make people write down if they want to speak?
Well, I can do a little better than that since there's not that many out there. May I see a show of hands of those who would like to speak to the board? Please raise your hands. One, two, three, four. Okay, now, customarily, that means, is it four or five? You want to speak? Okay, that's five then. So what that means is, if like they do in Congress, that's 30 minutes, 6 minutes each, unless one of you give up several of your minutes. So we'll start by saying you have as much time as you would consume up to 5.5 minutes. And I'm going to try to just start from one side of the room, so we'll try to be fair. Since you're the speaker, you spoke Saturday, you're going to be the first one, and then do it, and then we'll work ourselves on the run. By the way, she was the MC of the prom. I'm sure she'll tell you that.
Good evening. My name is Vonetta Kelly, and yes, I was the MC for the ARDC event, and I think it was spectacular. And I can't even say, I think it even went better than I even would have anticipated. So I was very pleased. It was very good. The speakers were excellent. It was great. Especially our past panel offered a lot of great information to present. There were a lot of great ideas, I think, that can be offered up. And there can be a report, some information after the fact, and I think it would be great to have another one for follow-up to get more people to come out, to hopefully be listeners, contributors, to bring a larger audience and a more diverse audience. So I think it went very well, and yes, Ted did a very good job, and to everyone else who was a member of the committee. Thank you. And so I will give the rest of my time to whoever else needs it.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Vonetta Kelly.
Okay. Is public comment time? Do you want to say anything?
Okay, do it. It's on you.
Good.
Not unless something happens between now and then. Thanks
for Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it.
I'm going to turn the volume down again. I'm waiting until everyone's through.
Amen.
Wesley, he's waiting.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. I'm going to hear you speaking.
Now, how many?
He's trying to tell you that's what he hears. That's what he's trying to tell you.
This is the first meeting, I think, that I've heard over about 45% of everything that was said. Usually I'm sitting in the back, and I can't hear over half of what is being said by the members being discussed. The reason I asked the members to speak up, because we in the peanut gallery, the investment section, may hear something and come up with an idea to improve what was being discussed earlier. But if we don't hear it, we cannot present ideas. Board members, when you're discussing, please speak up and pay attention when other people are talking. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's your lesson for the day. Next. Bob, you not saying anything today?
Yeah, I was going to speak, but I know Judon's ahead of me. Well, this lady over here.
Actually, I'm going out on the wall. I'm just going, no certain, you know.
Okay, well, I'm going to be brief. You know, I spend a lot of time in the backyard, and I don't negotiate with the manager, but the manager does negotiate the activities of the building committee with me, and both he and I know that I took on the recycling. The building committee has thrown the recycling materials in the dumpster at least twice. I guess there's a lull in what they do that I don't enjoy and feels like an assault because nothing's happened for a while. But James and his wife, who was just thanked, spent last Monday in the backyard And I told him well in advance of his appearance and even agreed and offered to help him clean the backyard. The orange tree that I grew from a seed was eliminated. And the hibiscus plant that was growing in a pot was cut down to the stump. And I contend that if I hadn't been there, the whole vegetable garden would have been wiped out. And he made comments that I was acting like a baby for complaining, and his wife was pulling up the beet plants that were the only vegetative material that was left in one of those little plant islands out there, because I had cleaned those up prior to their arrival too, in anticipation that they wouldn't recognize a beet plant. And her statement to me was that they were already laying on the ground. Well, that's how they grow. So, you know, I've lived with this for a while. I really don't enjoy the fact that I nurtured that orange tree or whatever. I don't even really know what fruit it's going to bear for almost a year. And now, hopefully, it'll come up from the stump. But, yeah, it just seemed a little high-handed to me. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Next. No comment?
No comment.
Oh, okay. Well, Judah, it's on you.
I'll be brief. I have another meeting to go to. I really had one piece of information I wanted to share, but listening to the meeting and listening to some of the comments, two or three, I actually wanted to commend the committee, particularly Ted, as you did for the event on Saturday. I thought it was extraordinary. That's only significant because it's my opinion, because I've done this organizing work with grassroots for 30, 40 years. And so I have a particular kind of evaluation in my head about whether it's worth the investment of time. I stayed for 5 hours. People who know me know I didn't stay at some city council meeting for 5 hours because I didn't think it merited my time. I invested that time in a meeting on Saturday because I thought it was well organized, it was substantive, and it was useful. For me, usefulness for KPFT, but more than that, for building the progressive multiracial, multicultural movement, which I think KPFT is the perfect center point for multicultural, multiracial, progressive movements to me. And I think that was worthy of my time and our time. And some of the struggles I see the board going through tonight. I was pained by your remarks because I believe we all can be better. And so I've spent 4 discussions and 2 meetings talking about how to help raise money for KPFT and help build Pacifica. And I'm still committed. I thank you for your work and your efforts. You'll be seeing me and hearing me trying to help the movement continue. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
That's a former Houston City Council member that has also been a former programmer in the 80s. That's one of those that have been brought back so in fold. Larry Payne and a few others. We still have two speakers, I believe.
Yes.
She's there.
Lori. Mm-hmm. And then Torchy is first, and then Lori. Okay,
Torchy. I'm Torchy. I just wanted to point out to the board that a 12-month period is from June through May, or from July through June. It doesn't include the same month a second time. When we were talking about an absenteeism like that, I was here in June through June, and that's not a 12-month period. Thank you.
Thank you.
I went to the diversity forum.
Speak up, please.
Speak up.
I went to the diversity forum on Saturday. I am not yet a member of KPFT. My friend Vanetta invited me. I listen to KPFT sometimes, not as much because it's, you know, I'm going in and out. But I have some ideas that I want to share. had a lot of ideas about getting younger generation involved, and I know we look at the younger generation like a bird of the sky.
Oh, no,
some people do, because, you know, some of the generation of the younger generation, we just can't relate to them, and they can't relate to us. And some of the older generation beyond me can't relate to me. And I grew up with the generation of three women in my house, so I understand.
Would you turn the volume back up?
But it's important to get them involved, because you have to continue a legacy. There's a such thing as a legacy with the station.
That's better.
You're not going to live forever. You're not going to move beyond retirement. So you have to incorporate and inject more blood into the legacy. And the thing about diversity, they didn't grow up with the things we grew up with. They have already diversified. They don't have a problem with that. It is automatic for them because they didn't grow up with parents that lived in segregation. They don't have the same type of hang-ups that we do about diversity. They don't understand what we've been through. They don't have to, because they don't have to live that. We didn't have to live what our parents lived through. So it was easier for us, the Xers. But this new generation, that's not their priority. Race is not their priority. They're selfish a little bit, but they're also a little bit focused. But when they get older and when they get focused, when they're serious about what they're doing, they are action takers. And they are who you need to inject these funds into this place. Because they are the ones, they do their own marketing online. It doesn't cost them anything. And if you guys had a few good internships, you will see the difference that they will make for this station. You don't even have to pay them. They just want the experience. And so if you guys just take a little program or just get a youth board that has to answer to you, see how serious they do and what kind of action they take. They don't mess around with, you know, is this definition this, that. They make plans and they take action. That's what they do. You
that's
see
true.
It out now.
That's
so
true.
That's what you guys probably need.
Right.
That's what I think.
Very
good. Thank
excellent.
You.
Excellent. I'd like to speak to you after the meeting if you can hang with us. You're the contact anyway. Get her until they are in D.C.
The name of the last speaker again?
Lori Jones.
Lori Jones, thank you.
I love ownership, and I'm going to help you own to help us make that come to fruition, okay? Are we there yet? Have we heard each member or listener that want to speak?
Personal privilege.
I can't turn the air down.
This is just a request to.
I'm playing with your part.
I need to go to the restroom. The root beer is not.
Yes, by all means.
Too much information.
A little extra stuff.
Who am I?
All right. We are now. I think we better do something about that chair the next time. Move it so he won't trip.